At the top of the program, East Lansing officials are working on the city's budget for the coming fiscal year. The $32.7 million spending plan features a small millage rate cut for 2015. There will be meetings and public forums on the budget over the next few weeks, and the City Council is scheduled to vote on the plan on May 20th. Joining us today to go over the numbers is East Lansing City Manager George Lahanas. Welcome back to Current State, George.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Let's start with the basics. From your perspective, how have budget and spending priorities shifted in East Lansing in the past 12 months?
Well, I think that over the past 12 months, we've sort of made a shift in focus, and we're wanting to move, instead of prioritizing OPEB, which is our other employee, post-employee benefits, which is really funding retiree health care and legacy costs, we're switching a little bit more of a focus to infrastructure. And the reason we're doing that is because for the past 5 years, we've made a big effort to fund unfunded portions of our legacy costs. And that actually behaved as a second reserve for us. So during tough times, we could have utilized some of that money in reserves. But now that we see a slight shift in the economy and things improving, we are more comfortable shifting back to focusing more on infrastructure, streets, sidewalks, and the like.
Yeah, you've enjoyed bumps in revenue from both property taxes, and you expect some amount more from the state in revenue sharing. Yet overall, the budget you've proposed is just a hair less than last year. How did this play out exactly?
Well, it's certainly good news for us that our two largest revenue sources for the first time in years are both going up. They are very small increments up, but certainly up is the right direction for us. So that gives us a good sense of optimism that we're on the right track. Overall, the budget varies year to year depending on how much spending, how much reserves you use. So the fact that it's down a little bit from last year, you have to dig deeper and find out what exactly is the cause of that. But overall, good news for us because both of those larger revenue sources for us are going up a small amount.
And you mentioned greater investments in infrastructure and roads. How much more spending are you proposing, and what will that be spent on if this plan is approved?
Sure. What we're looking at now over this year and next year is $900,000 additional from the general fund into streets. So we have separate pots of money for major and local streets. We get money from the state to do those projects on an annual basis. But we are looking to supplement that with additional money from the general fund, and that's the $900,000 figure.
And in a typical year, that wouldn't be there at all?
No, it would not be there. Okay. In past years, we haven't had the ability to supplement from the general fund because we've simply been providing the needed services. We've also been making that OPEB payment, like I mentioned, the retiree health care payment.
Right.
So it's a shift in priorities, and with the additional money we have, instead of focusing on legacy costs, we're focusing on infrastructure.
So almost $1 million more on streets. How will you determine which streets? How does that play out?
Well, there's two separate pots of money. There's major and local streets. Major streets are obviously designated as the larger streets that we have. Local streets are your neighborhood streets, the smaller streets in subdivisions. So you can't commingle those pots of money. So the state gives us money to do major street projects, and that's based on their condition, essentially. Local streets...
Is it clear which major streets you're going to work on if this passes?
Yes. Yeah, we have a number of sections, a section on Harrison, a section on Coolidge, a section on, I think there's, Harrison Road actually is going to be the section that goes between the University Kellogg Center, which is quite a roughed up section. So there's a number of sections that people will see. It's pretty significant or direct improvement in some bad areas of roads. And then with local streets, we're going to be working on the Walnut Heights neighborhood, which is in need of some resurfacing of all the roads. So basically all the roads in that neighborhood will look like new roads.
We're talking with East Lansing City Manager George Lahanas about his proposed 2015 fiscal year city budget. Has the hard winter forced a change? I mean, if the winter hadn't been so hard, do you think you'd be investing $900,000 on streets?
It's been our plan all along to focus on streets. Cities have what's called a PASER rating. It's a pavement and asphalt surface assessment. It's a standardized way of assessing your road condition. Our condition of our roads has ticked downward over the past dozen years. So we really knew we had to do reinvestment in our roads. We've been planning it for some time. It's just been a matter of doing it at the right time. We've been able to, like I said, make good progress on our legacy costs. So we believe it's time to focus, and certainly the council has been encouraging us to focus on streets and sidewalks.
Your property tax base is forecast to rise 1.6%. How confident are you that that trend will continue?
Well, it's actually quite a lag in that. So we already see signs. It goes back about 6 months to a year. So you actually are looking, sales now for this year will impact next year's tax. So you're pretty confident that the trend is continuing and actually perhaps even speeding up. So current sales will impact us next year and benefit us next year. So you sort of get some time to know that things are going the right direction.
Before we get a little bit more into expenditures, George, talk to us about the response to the budget, first from the City Council and then from the public at large. What have they had to say?
Well, this process starts with the council about 2 months ago. In February, we have a financial retreat, and we talk to our council and say sort of the general direction we want to go for the next 5 years. We lay out a five-year forecast, and then from that point, we get to hear their feedback of their support for that and if they have any other concerns. We also talk about a strategic priorities document, which looks at the big projects and initiatives they want us to do. And then we can sort of wrap that all into the budget to make sure we're able to accomplish everything they want us to accomplish. So from council, it's essentially their direction. So hopefully they've been pleased with the direction. And from the public, we haven't had that much feedback at this point.
Council member Ruth Beyer complained to the state news that the city gives away too much revenue in the form of tax incentives for new developments. I know Mayor Nathan Triplett took issue with that. Do you as well?
I think perhaps it was she had mentioned to me that it was a shorter portion of a whole quote. So I don't want to say, to speak for her in that respect. But what I would say is that tax incentives for development are something that is pretty necessary and standard in cities if you want to encourage redevelopment. Redevelopment in your downtown is something that keeps it vibrant and refreshed. If you don't provide those kind of incentives, your downtown will simply deteriorate and it's not a place that people will want to go. So I think the incentives are well spent.
And that's what you say to citizens, to residents, taxpayers who maintain that there's too many sweetheart deals, there's too much incentivizing of development?
Well, certainly I think that it's necessary, and the argument is that the development wouldn't be there but for the fact that we gave the incentives. So without the incentives, there would be no growth, and that property tax value would not be there. But the other thing I'd mention is money that we've been shorted from the state over the past decade or more is certainly a great deal more than any incentives that we give away for development or forego for development. So I think that if we were to look at, I think the number we said for incentives for development is about $700,000 of tax revenue that we forego. The school gets about $750,000 more from those developments. So the East Lansing Public School benefits directly from that revenue. We forego about $700,000. You could easily find a number, $3 million or more, that between state shared revenue and fire protection money that the state does not give the city of East Lansing on an annual basis. So I would say that the state meeting its obligations to cities is a much bigger issue than any amount of incentives that we have foregone in the past.
ELPD is slated for a 3.5% increase to more than $10 million. I see the fire budget, though, almost exactly the same as 2014. Can you discuss police and fire spending for us?
Yeah, basically both operations are staying essentially the same. We have, somewhere in the range of 50 firefighters and about closer to 60 police officers. They're both very significant parts of our budget. Public safety is by far the biggest portion of our general fund, and rightly so. People count on police and fire and ambulance to have a strong response, and we think we certainly have that in East Lansing. The differences may well be something minor, like our police officers are purchasing new vehicles this year, and that would be in the budget. So that type of equipment may cause a variation in the budget, but there really is no large add in the police department. Essentially, the officer count and the firefighter count is staying flat from year to year.
We're talking with East Lansing City Manager George Lahanas about the 2015 fiscal year budget for the city. The city still faces, and you alluded to this earlier, a $90 to $100 million tab for unfunded city retiree health care and pensions. Is any money targeted to that?
Well, we have made great progress over the past 5 years. We've made our full retiree health care actuarially determined payment for the past 5 years. That's been about $1.6 million a year. So in a trust for that purpose for retiree health care. We've gone from zero to $10.5 million over 5 years, which is great news for us, great news for the residents that we're meeting that obligation. So what I would say is we're making progress. It's going to be slow and steady progress. After we are able to devote some extra money to roads on an annual basis, we will look to see what we can do for retiree health care and legacy cost pensions with additional payments. We won't be funding it to that level on a year-to-year basis because roads have become our priority.
But this is something, it's just too big to take any other approach than just chipping away at it slowly. Is that your approach? That's your thinking?
Well, it's both. It's both us making additional payments and making our payments, and it's also a return in the economy because as there are good market returns, pension, the pension plan that we are in through MERS benefits tremendously from good market returns. So they do a good job managing their funds. We were still for a time dealing with a loss of 2008, which had obviously for everybody very bad market returns. It hurt pension plans tremendously. So as that we have more years of good growth beyond 2008, it will start to raise the level of funding in our pension plan. It's already had a very good benefit on our retiree health care plan. And so I would expect that a combination of making incremental payments as we can and market returns will start to turn that around over time.
Our guest has been East Lansing City Manager George Lahanas. There's a public hearing on the East Lansing City budget tonight, 7 o'clock, Courtroom 2 of 54B District Court in East Lansing City Hall. The budget goes before the City Council for a vote on May 20th. George, thanks very much.
Thank you.